It's often said your greatest era of motorsport is the one that you grew up watching. All of us here are of a fairly similar age, grew up in the early, mid, late 90s. I think it would be hard for any of us to disagree with the fact that 1999 was possibly one of the greatest years in motorsport there's ever been. Every series was brilliant. F1, fantastic title, down to the wire. BTCC, probably the best single series of Super Tourers we ever had. Le Mans, manufacturers galore with a surprise winner. And the kart championship was actually decided on countback as the first two finished on equal points. We're going to take a look at that 99 series from a livery point of view today to celebrate 25 years. And doesn't that make me feel old? So I've got the usual crew here. I've got Dave, Nick and Scott with me. We put this out to a vote between us and the wider Vaux group, and some of our better halves even got involved. We chose our top 10 liveries for the season, awarded them points based on where we ranked them in F1 style, and then came out of a championship order. So I'm going to start off with 10th place, which interestingly, no one on the podcast voted for in the top 10. And that is the Della Penna. So, Della Penna was a fairly basic car, I'd say. It was plain red, but Budweiser sponsorship. Something I associate more with probably Dale Earnhardt in NASCAR rather than kart.
Yeah, so the Richie Hearn car, the Swift, plain red. Bit of a sponsor cannon. We'll get to why I kind of object to those a little bit later, when we get to our votes. It's not really a livery. It's a red car, which is great, with a load of stickers on it, which is not that interesting. But if I remember rightly, it had the Budweiser Gecko on it at one point, at least. Maybe not in 99, might have been 98. Made it a bit more interesting, but yeah, not one of my votes, so interesting.
I like the idea that a red car with just stickers on it is not really a livery. We need to discuss Ferrari at some point.
I mean, yeah. the prancing horse does that's a lot of help to anything, really. I mean, you can sell anything with a prancing horse on it. So.
And I'm partly arguing just for the sake of arguing, but also I kind of like it. I just do. I like the Della Penna car. Yeah.
I get the sense that at this time, you know, I'm sure we'll touch on the Penske livery as well. And the Penske livery was really similar to that iconic McLaren livery. And I almost get the sense that Della Penna wanted to go, we need to have an iconic red livery because of the red cars over in Europe. And it just looks bad. I just don't like it.
It feels more like the car was just delivered red and then they had some stickers to put on it and it's just the quickest way to do it.
It's just delivered in red primer.
Yeah. It's Della Penna, not like the top line operation, let's say, that a lot of other teams were in kart back then. Kart now IndyCar, of course.
Yeah, I'm okay to give that 10th place.
Yep. Right, so we'll move on to 9th place, and actually this only scored 9th by dint of having one less top three pick than the team in 8th. And 9th was Newman Haas with 64 points.
Yeah, so okay, we're there already. Not a livery. It's a black car with stickers on it. It's so iconic, Dave, but it's not a livery.
Yeah, Dave, along with me, you put this in 4th place, so do you want to take the floor on this one?
Yeah. Because I don't think a livery can really be judged standing on its own. A livery also has to be judged on what vehicle it's on. We've seen some brilliant Marlborough liveries over the years, for example, but we've also seen some terrible ones, even though it's the exact same livery, but you put it on a different car and suddenly it's ugly. And if we're rating the cars based on how they look, the Newman Haas is gorgeous. It's a lovely looking car, and that's partly because the chassis, the Swift, is much more kind of dainty looking than the kind of bulky Reynard. It looks agile. I mashed together some words there. Agile and nimble, so we're going with agile. It looks agile. It just looks lovely.
Show title.
It looks agile. And It also goes well with even the driver's helmet. It's Fittipaldi's helmet in there, the yellow helmet. It's kind of what you would... It's kind of what people said about Senna's helmet back in the day. If you look in the mirror and it's distinctly this driver. And I like that. So yeah, it's a bit of a sponsor canon, but I'm going to be honest, most of the liveries in here are is just that this happens to have been flood-filled black as well. So I don't think you can judge a livery on its own. It has to be on the vehicle it's on.
I must admit, black racing cars don't really do it for me. I know that black is cool. Black should be everything. I didn't really like the black Mercedes in F1 of recent years. And I think this is just, like you said, it's a sponsor canon. So good idea, but
So what's your opinion on the 1998 Arrows Formula One car then? Possibly one of the best looking cars ever made.
It was fine.
I just think that at a push under duress.
I think that black is kind of like, it's the default, let's try and make this cool color, when in fact it's just anybody with a bit of taste, you're not going to have a black car.
Says the man wearing that shirt.
Point taken.
I cannot wait for your picks to come out in this. This is going to be fun.
All right, so we'll move on to eighth place. And like I say, only one person put the Newman Haas on the podium, but two people put the eighth place on the podium, and that was the AAR Castrol livery.
Yes.
And Scott and Nick, you both put this in third place. Who wants to take this one?
Once again, proving how correct Scott's tastes actually are.
It's a dangerous sentence, that.
I think it's classy. Okay, it's a little bit red, white, and blue. The eagle on the front is a little bit Team America, but it's a simple livery with a few simple sponsors on it. There's a little bit of color on it, and that's cool. It's easy to look at. You can read each one of the sponsors rather than, you know, they're not printed out in size 8 font.
Yeah, okay, I mean, it's all American races. There's an eagle on it. There's some American flags, and it's a Castrol livery. Castrol, just classic colours, that white base, the green and the red. I don't know. I'm swayed by other Castrol liveries, perhaps, you know, from famous race cars in the past, the Toyotas in Super GT in Japan and the WRC stuff and things like that. But to me, a Castrol livery is one of the all-time iconic ones, and that's why it's on my podium. And it looks great on the... on the eagle.
Can we roll back to the term classy there?
I was gonna blow straight past that because Scott agrees with me.
For what it's worth, a cartoon eagle,
maybe not classy. I don't know.
I like this car, for the record. I think according to the sheet here, I ranked it sixth. I actually would have ranked it higher if we were using the 1988 car, because it just looks like it fits the car a little bit nicer with the green wings and all the rest of it. But classy is not a word I think of when I see this car. It's not. I do like the American-ness of it. It's like, throw an eagle on the front, stars and stripes on the top, off we go. Let's not talk about the Toyota engine that's in the back of it when it could have been an American engine, but never mind. Let's go all American racers with Japan. I like it, but it's not classy.
It's a classy attempt at an American flag. They could have made it way more overt, and they could have made it way more American, and they could have made it bad. But, you know, whenever you look at it side on, you don't really see the stars and stripes that much. You definitely see the eagle. If you look at it head on, then you see the stars and stripes, you know. So it's a livery that works kind of depending on which way you look at it as well.
That's fair. We'll move on to number 7 then. This is a slight jump up to 72 points. And that is the Patrick Racing Tecate car. Now, interestingly, a Twitter poll ran by Champ Car Web a few years ago ranked this as the best livery of 99 season. Though I think that may have had something to do with the nation of Mexico getting behind that particular vote.
Just as a side note, is it not Tecate?
I don't know.
So it's Mexican redacted beer. why did I vote for that one? I can't remember. I did vote for that somewhere.
Once again, Scott and Nick were aligned to put it higher than myself and Dave did. That's in seventh place.
Yeah. Yeah, I like it. So I thought it should be on the board somewhere, but I don't like it enough to like trouble the top five. But to me, it's one of those semi-iconic or at least very recognizable liveries of the late 90s Champ Car Kart era. So it deserved a ranking. That's really it for me. The color combination works well. It's a good bit of design. I'm not overly connected to it beyond that, really. But
well, I think the color combination works well because it's the Mexican flag. But also, what I like in a livery is I like simple. And this is simple because it's green and it's red with a little bit of white.
Yeah, and if Sergio Perez was in IndyCar today, he'd be racing this livery. It's Telmex, it's Tecate, it's Team Mexico, really. You know.
Yeah, all the sponsors are very readable as well.
I agree with Nick on that. It's an iconic or semi-iconic livery that deserves to be there because it's instantly recognisable, but it's not a top one or two, realistically. Yeah. And all I see when I see this car is Adrian Fernandez. It's just like linked in my head. It's not a Patrick Racing car. It's an Adrian Fernandez car is what this is.
Yeah, because Patrick Racing also ran, that black and silver and orange livery. They swapped out the colours on this one. Yeah. It's not really a separate livery in my mind, but this variant of it is the prettier one, which is why it was 7th rather than 10th.
It's funny, really, because we're probably jumping ahead here, because in theory, if you described these cars, the Patrick Racing Visteon one, the silver and black one, sounds like it should be a prettier car in theory, but it doesn't work out like that, and it's certainly not as iconic as the Tecate car.
Yeah, interestingly, I did rate the Visteon one higher than this one. I don't know, something about it just flows better for me.
I guess it goes back to the intro, really. It's sort of what you remember from those sort of formative years, what sticks in your mind, the colours you see on the TV and blurry video footage back in the day. And for me, it was always, the Tecate car over the Visteon one.
I do think it's interesting as well that this one was helped to its seventh position by the fact that two of the wives actually put it on the podium. One scored it first and one scored it second. So maybe there's the wives weren't watching motorsport in 1999. I think they're watching it through Stockholm syndrome at the minute with us.
I was going to say they have more objective opinions, not weighed down by, baggage. But if you want to go with Stockholm syndrome, that's fine. I did not say that.
It's all right. They won't listen to this. Right then, before we move on to sixth place, because there's quite a jump from there to the top six, I just want to take a diversion to some of the ones that got some good votes from the group but didn't make the top 10. So I'm going to start with you, Scott. Rahal Miller only came in 15th place, but you personally put it up there in fifth. That's the highest result it received from anybody. It accounted for a third of its points.
So I'm just pulling up the picture.
No, sorry.
To remind me what it looked like.
Ranked it very high. Can't remember what it looked like.
There it is. Sorry, I scrolled past it. Okay, I'll tell you why I like the Rahal Miller. Because it's simple. It has two colours, one of which is blue, one of which is white. The back half is blue, the front half is white. When you look at it from the front, it's white. When you look at it from the side, it's blue and white. And it's got a big shell on the front as well, which always looks cool. I think it's just a simple, cool livery. I don't want you to think that I'm a big fan of Miller Lite, as I am not American.
That is where I was going with that, like in my head.
what you can't see
is that just a pile of Miller Lite cans behind Scott there on the floor.
What, the sort of 1% alcohol ones? I think it's nice enough livery. I don't think it's an iconic livery, but I think it's a good, strong, solid livery that works. I also think that the blue is actually a really nice blue as well. Like, it's that kind of real deep navy but metallic blue. I think that's a really classy blue.
I have a question. Can you read any of the sponsors on the nose of that car?
Shell.
Yeah, exactly. You see where I'm going.
I mean, it could zoom in.
I'm just
there's a champion logo on the very, on the tip of the nose, but we only know that because it's highly recognizable.
Wanted to bring that up by your own criteria.
But I think the Miller Lite Rahal car is, again, it's one of those sort of semi-iconic liveries from car to that era. Probably deserves an honourable mention, maybe even if it isn't a top 10 for most of us. It's, well, in 99, it was, who was it? Max Pappas. So it's not the Bobby Rahal version of it, but it was the same livery. And yeah, it's highly recognisable, at least. Whether you like it or not is down to personal preference, but it's certainly one of those semi-iconic ones, yeah.
For me, it's more, I'm more associated the Miller Lite with NASCAR than I do with kart as well, I think. So yeah. All right, so now we've put Scott on the spot. I'll have to put myself on the spot here, I think, because in third place, but only 16th overall with 20 points, my 15 points counting for three quarters of that, was the Arturo Wells Pioneer car.
Yeah, defend your position, sir.
So very similar to what Scott just said, it's a very simple car, which looks different depending on how you look at it. If you look at it from the front, it looks very red. The side, you've got the white lower half of the car below the side pods. But I think what does it for me is that red. It is such a beautiful red, especially when the light hits it. Some angles I'll give you, it looks a bit dull, it looks a bit brown, but when the light does catch it, it's a glorious colour.
I'm with you. I can't remember where I voted for this one, but I'm pretty sure considering you my didn't. Actual... Oh, really? My apology. I probably thought that I had voted it first and then forgotten about it. Is it too late for me to put in a... Let's give it an honourable mention on behalf of my... This would have been, you know, right up there if I had remembered about it. Yeah, I think that the colour is good. It's kind of similar to my road car, so that's entirely okay. The sponsors are very readable. Just a nice livery.
It is, yeah.
I gotta be honest, looking at these photos, I couldn't even work out the proper colour because I can't tell if the photos are weirdly washed out or if that's just the colour of the car because the whole thing's kind of underexposed. I don't know, it just does nothing for me. Like, in theory, if you describe this livery, it sounds great. But then I look at it, I'm like, eh, it's unoffensive. It's there. It's not a bad livery. It's just not a good livery.
Yeah, so it's sort of meant to be a burgundy. Looks more like speed brown to me. So that's like the main color. The sides are white. There's a couple little white stripy bits on the side of the nose, top of the side pods, some black border around it. Yeah, it worked better on some later cars, I think. From memory, this was the first year of that livery, and it turned up on some better looking cars later on than the Reynard. There was a Lola at one point, I think. So yeah, that's probably why I didn't go near this one. It looked better and different in other years. And it's brown. Don't like brown.
No comment. So our last diversion outside of the top 10. And Dave and Scott, you might want to put your feet up for this one. 11th place with 31 points and 25 of them awarded by Nick, so he gave this as the best livery in 1999.
Oh, God.
The PacWest Hollywood car.
Hell yeah.
What?
Mauricio Gugelman, the man, the legend.
Really?
Yeah.
This was the one that when I was scrolling through the list to remind me, I was like, definitely no points for that one.
Yeah, there is a reason. But it won't make any sense, and it is weighed, well, it will make sense, but it was weighed by personal experience, really. It was the first car we painted for our Kart Factor mod way back in the day. So we did a little add-on for R Factor, which kind of kicked off a few careers and a few companies. And yeah, I just really enjoyed painting it. I enjoyed the colours of it. It's kind of bonkers. It's not a livery you'd ever design around a boardroom. You know, it's crazy. It's stripy. It's got spikes on it. It's got loads of different colors. It's terrible. I love it.
If ADHD was a livery, it would be this.
Yeah. I borrowed a panel from every other team in the pit lane and stuck it to one car.
Yeah, I will say my actual favorite car of the year is the Ganassi Target car, but I just love that Pat West. It's mental. It's stupid.
Yeah, I'm going with you. It's mental and it's stupid, which is why I didn't give it any points whatsoever. I think that's how these rules work. You usually accuse me of kind of doing something weird with the rules, but not in this instance.
It's even got a chrome engine cover. It's brilliant. Red, bit of green, a red stripe on the nose for some reason nobody knows about.
It's a bit like, you know, those, the Golf Harlequin paint scheme, from the 90s, where, again, every panel was a different color. It's kind of this, but it's IndyCar.
It's that, and they've added some duct tape stripes to it as well for a bit more pizzazz, a bit more class, you know.
Yeah, class is not the word I was thinking of. Yeah.
And the other color not mentioned so far is like a deep metallic navy as well. So put those together in your head. This actually makes for an interesting sort of description of it, because there's no way anyone listening to this would be able to figure out what this car looks like.
Okay, please describe then to the people who cannot currently see this. Please describe from the front to the back everything that's going on.
Describe it without using the word class, please. This word is being abused several times in this.
I mean, how long have we got? The front wing's blue, but it actually starts off red. There's a bit of a green fade in there as well before you even get to the Mercedes logo on the nose. So that's the first, 20 centimeters of the car. You know, there's a lot going on. There's a lot to be interested by, especially when you're a kid. And you get slightly further back and there's like a spiky red stripe on it, which, you know, we're not to the front wheels yet. So, yeah, I'm entertained already. This is enough. Then metallic green as you go back towards the front wheels. And again, then it starts with the spiky stuff again and it's red for quite a long way. You know, it's calming down. Big Hollywood logo on the side. It's actually Hollywood Video. So some terrible rental company from the 90s that does not exist anymore. Those were always fun. Then we get towards the sort of middle of the car. It then changes to both blue and silver, depending on where you look at it. So it's silver on the engine cover, blue on the side pods. And then it's just blue at the back. It's fine. It's brilliant. It's terrible.
A bit like somebody vomited up a load of Skittles.
Yes.
And what's wrong with that? You say that like that's a bad thing.
Just to add a bit of insult to injury, is that a Haas Automotive logo on the side of the car as well?
Yeah. So it's got everything you'd want from a 90s car. It's got some financial crime, some companies that don't exist anymore, an absolute chaos as far as the colour scheme goes, and a slightly terrible Brazilian racing driver in it as well. Ticks every single box. I don't know why you'd ever object to it.
As an aside here that may be edited out, it was definitely Hollywood Video and not Hollywood Chewing Gum.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was Hollywood Video on the side of the 98 car.
Okay.
Right, and thank you for that slight insight into your mind there, Nick. So resuming the top 10, and sixth place to third place was just covered by 10 points. That's how close that was here. So, sixth place overall on 104 points was the Walker Valvoline car.
Yeah.
Okay, so that scored a win from the wide of Vaux. And out of us, Nick, again, you put that in second overall. I'm not sure I want you to justify that given your previous decision, though. So, Scott, you put it in fourth. What do you think?
I think it's great. I think... It runs the risk, you know, it's red, white, and blue. It runs the risk of being Team America. But they managed to avoid it with, you know, a nice, I was going to use the word classy, but let's call it muted blue. It's mostly a dark blue color, but on the front it's white with some kind of splotchy red stuff. And I think, you know, it's one of these liveries that works no matter how you look at this car. From the side, it's blue. From the front, it's white with a bit of red. I just think it's simple. It's classy. You can read the sponsors. It just works so well as a livery.
I think we're in an interesting point, actually, because I rated it, I think, 9th. So I like it. The problem is there's so many good liveries this year that this livery just becomes fine. It's good. I like it. It's kind of iconic, but almost every livery this year is iconic. So, like, it's fine. It's unoffensive, again.
Oh, it's better than unoffensive. It's actually, it's really classy. It's, you know, it's classy Valvoline colours and it's the bit red, white and blue. Oh, come on, it's better than that.
You know when words change their meaning through time and misuse? Are we doing that with classy? Is that what's happening? But no, I think it's a really good piece of design. What you don't see so much in some of these photos that we've been using to sort of put this together is, okay, it goes from white through like a red stripe to blue, but around that red stripe is a load of Valvoline Vs. So that stripe is actually built out of the Valvoline logo, which I think is a really smart piece of design. That's why I rated it highly. And it looks really cool. So
did not know that.
I think I have a slight PTSD from this car because I was the one who painted this one for Cart Factor. And I thought, oh, that's just going to be little cutouts in the colours. That's fine. And then I looked at it closely and I was like, oh, it's Vs. I actually have to put an effort to this. That car took a lot longer than
See, we're not just swayed by rose-tinted glasses. We've also got PTSD from past projects to weigh in there as well, apparently.
Mm-hmm. Actually, do you know what it gets a plus point for? Is the number on the nose and on the back, actually, on the road course version. It was in a circle, like a round all. And it's just so retro looking, and I loved that. That wasn't in the 98 car, I think that came in for 99. The number looks really, really cool in this car. All four old school numbers with, like, big font, big color behind it, or you know, white box, white circle behind it. I'm all for that. And this car ticks that box. So it gets a bonus point for that for me.
Excellent. Moving on to fifth then, just 3 points ahead on 107. I'm both surprised and not surprised. It's here. It's the Penske, the Marlborough car. I only ranked it 9th. Scott didn't place it at all. But Dave, you put it on the podium.
It's the Marlborough car. It's the one from the 70s, 80s, 90s. It's just
no, it's not.
On.
No. It's not. Sorry. That livery belongs on an 80s and 90s McLaren.
Yeah.
It just doesn't. I know what they're going for. They're going for that livery and it's really iconic and stuff like that, but it just doesn't look good on that car compared to like a 1991 McLaren.
I think by 1999, McLaren had dropped the Marlborough livery anyway. So somebody has to take on the mantle. And when you go outside F1, you do find the Marlborough livery has been reused a lot. And Penske's one of the ones that they're allowed to use it. They've been using it for so long, they're just plain allowed. And I think it's gorgeous. It's beautiful. It's just right. And it gets bonus points for a good number as well. That is a nice font on that with a nice pinstripe around the number. Bonus points for that one. It's beautiful. The only thing it gets marked down on is I don't think the chassis is as nice as the others. It's just not as good looking a chassis. The car's kind of looks a little bit melted compared to the other ones do, but it's beautiful livery.
No, I think I placed it somewhere in my top 10, and a lot of that was because of the chassis. I really like the Lola. Just as
also
nice alternative to the Reynard back then, a little bit more agile, perhaps.
The other thing to look at is that helmet. Alan Sir Jr.'s helmet there just suits that livery perfectly. I'm not usually for drivers changing their helmets to suit liveries. I remember when Eddie Irvine switched to the Jaguar helmet. It just looked stupid. Should just kept his original. But that helmet suits that livery so perfectly. It's lovely. I mean,
that was because Eddie Irvine's Jaguar helmet was designed by a tattoo artist at 2 a.m. down in Soho or something. That was a really bad choice of his in particular. But the Alan Sir one, yeah, it's a Marlboro logo, really, but it does fit in with that car beautifully. It's just there's a whole thing going on there, and I'm kind of here for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting that this is another one as well where the non-motorsport people who voted on it, my wife put it first, and there was another podium in there as well. So yeah, I think, like I say, part of that though is it's a motorsport livery. People see Marlborough and they just think motorsport from that era. don't they? It's a bit also, like Red Bull now. That Red Bull livery's in every level on the on the feeder series now, and it's that's what it was for them back then.
There is another point to bring up though. It's like if we're talking about simple liveries, this is the perfect simple livery because it is just if you look top down, it's just the sponsor logo in giant form. It's perfect. Like, what more do you want from a simple livery? And not only that, it's color coordinate as well. It's got two colors. It's got Marlborough red, a very iconic red at that. It's got white, and the text is in black. It actually ticks all Scots boxes for, quote, a classy livery.
Oh, yeah, I totally agree. You know, that it is a classy livery, but it just doesn't look good on a car. I mean, maybe I'm just showing my F1 bias here.
Yeah, a classy livery, which looks like a fag packet. Yeah, that's the epitome of class, isn't it?
That's the epitome of motorsport in the 90s, isn't it?
Yeah. All right, and so moving on to fourth place, and this is the highest livery in the list that wasn't placed first by anybody, but it was scored highly across pretty much everybody that voted. 108 points, so just a point ahead of the Penske, is the Rahal Shell car. So we will go to Scott on you because Scott, for this one, you voted this one second best livery of 1999.
Love it. It's black and white. It's black and white with a little bit of color. You know, I think there's something about that shell.
It has shell logos on it for sure. And that kind of ticks some boxes for you, as we've already covered. So, yeah. Just swayed by shells, apparently. I mean, you'd love Mario Kart.
Man, you want to see what it's like when I go to the beach? I'm a man of simple tastes, you know. And this car, it's black and it's white and it has yellow and red shells on it. I think it's a real simple livery, but I think it's really simple. And in fact, you know, the fact that they break up the black and white with little bits of yellow in there, I just think it's a really nice livery.
This livery's biggest problem is the thing it's most iconic for is being overtaken at Laguna Seca. I love this livery, but when I think of this livery and this car, all I see is Zanardi off the road in a very illegal pass, which stood for a win anyway. And
track limits weren't invented until 2012, unfortunately. So, Alex got away with that one.
And that was obviously Brian Herta and not getting his first win at the time. So, like, I love this livery, it is beautiful, but it is kind of famous for the wrong reasons. It's famous for being overtaken by a better livery, I should say.
Yeah, I think that might be my bias against it as well. I remember it being defeated effectively. Mm-hmm. I don't think I placed it in my top 10, but only out of chaos and contrarianism, really.
I guess that, you know, I mentioned that I didn't really like the Newman Haas because it was all black. But this kind of makes it work because, you know, you've got literally the two opposites there. You've got black and white, and the white has black text, and the black has white text. And there's not, like, so much text to disguise the paint, just enough to make you understand what's going on. I think it's great.
Yeah, I really like the yellow and red stripe that separates the black and white on this as well. I think that definitely helps bring the look together on this one.
And it's another livery where it's inexorably linked with the driver in it, who also had a brilliant helmet. It's one of those classic 90s helmets where it's a very simple bit of design, but very recognisable. Like Brian Herta in that shell car. Yeah, one of those classic combinations.
Okay, so moving on to the podium then. 114 points. It took two top spots from members of the wider vote. The Forsyth Players car. Interestingly, it wasn't well regarded by any of us on this, on the podcast itself, with, I think, Dave voting it the highest out of all of us, and that was in sixth place. So yeah,
I think it could have been higher, but it was sliding back a little bit come 99, because the 98 car was definitely better looking. Come 99, it started getting a little bit too busy, especially when they had discovered that the internet was a thing and it started becoming web addresses all over it. So like, players just became playersracing.com. you're like, no, you don't need that. Just, I know Google wasn't around then, or just was, but no, stop that. And it kind of goes for the rest of the livery. It's good, but it's not as good as the year before. I think I've probably voted this a little bit higher with nostalgia, being that it's Greg Moore's car and this was his last season before he was killed at Fontana. So there's probably a little bit of that. It goes extremely well with his helmet as well. So it gets bonus points for that. It's good, but it should have been higher than even what I put it, because the 98 car was nicer.
I struggled with this one because I was a Greg Moore fan. And, you know, whenever I was looking at the pictures and, you know, came across this car, I was like, oh, yeah, that's great. And then the more I looked at it, I just think there's something about that shade of blue. That is not a race-winning shade of blue. That is backmarker blue.
French blue.
But like, it's not like a classy blue like the Walker one. You know, it's just like, and also there's two shades of blue on it as well. Yes, it's a fag packet, but it's just not a very nice livery.
We are into that uncomfortable point of discussing the fact that most of the best liveries are in fact cigarette packets as well, aren't we? We're now deep into that part of the podcast. It's very difficult to go, oh, that's classy. Cigarettes and tobacco and death. Yeah, sounds great. So good that they were banned. That's how classy these cars were. So it's quite uncomfortable to acknowledge that some of the best looking cars were actually by cigarette companies.
Yeah. For me, I can't remember where I placed this, but I may not have even put it in my top 10. And that was largely because this is the weakest player's livery there kind of ever was. 95 one was iconic with Villeneuve. 98 was better. And then it got better again through, I want to say, the mid-2000s or so, when we had like Paul Tracy and AJ Allmendinger in the car at Forsyth Racing. That was just a better livery, a better car. This one, yeah. It's an iconic livery, the player's livery in Champ Car Kart IndyCar history. This one's not the one though. So,
yeah. So moving on to second place then. It took two victories. It was well regarded by all except one person on the podcast.
I think I know what car this
is. It might have been me. It might have been Scott.
It was Scott. So Nick and Dave, you both put this in first place. I put it in second place. It's the team called Green.
Dave, you're biased.
We
know that. We know that, but I'm disappointed that's finished second, because we're going to have an argument about first in a minute as well because of everything that we've already said. But that car is beautiful. Another cigarette car, of course, as you do. The only way that that car gets better is when they had the blue version of it as well a couple of years later. That's just the iconic Indy car. Not Indy car. God, we're going to get emails about that, aren't we?
I think that's what hurt it for me. The fact that it worked in blue as well is what hurt it for me. I think if it only worked in the green, it would have been better for me. Yeah, I do like a green car as well.
I don't love it.
But it's simple. It's classy.
Yeah, I know. I was kind of conflicted about it because,
And like, it says cool on the side. I mean, what more do you want?
Yeah, it says cool with a K, and it has this kind of weird double O thing. And
peak 90s misspellings for cool points. It has everything.
Not only that, the team owner's name is Green, so it's Team Green. It's a green car. It's great. The number 27 on the end plate is orange for a reason. It's a heart back to Gilles Villeneuve. That's why that's orange. It's perfect. It's great.
Can I tell you one thing that I like about this and one thing that I don't like about this? I'll start with
You can tell us the first part at least. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to start with the bit that I don't like. I don't like the orange number 27 on the rear wing end plate. And I'll tell you why, because it doesn't fit with the rest of the livery. It's just like they got handed the sponsor, or they got handed the car number at the start of the race weekend, said, here, slap this on the side of your car. You're number 27 today. I know why they did it, but I just don't really like it. But let me redeem myself. I'll tell you what I do like about this livery. It's the gold stripe. Now, normally, I don't really like gold cars, but the gold stripe and the gold wheels kind of redeem it a bit for me. If it was all gold, no thank you. But there's something quite nice about a well-done stripe, and this is a well-done stripe.
Yeah, I mean, the gold wheels always help, and we've tied it in with a gold stripe along the car. It's a simple design. It's done well. It's got Dario Franchitti in the behind the wheel with another iconic helmet. Just the whole package there just is 90s racing perfection, really, for me. Although I did just get second behind that crazy Hollywood car, so what do I know?
I just think that green isn't a race-winning car color. It sort of reminds me of... Do you remember that... that 1995-40 when it became Shannon Racing? You know, the 1991 Jordan, great. Then that kind of was like, that's the benchmark for green cars. Think about cars that have been green since then. It was the Shannon Racing from 1995. Didn't like that. The Caterham from Formula One from some years ago, not good. You know, it's just... Green, really?
Sorry. The Bentley Speed 8.
Yeah. Okay. That's a great color of green. Really great green. This one, yeah, it's a bit beige green.
Another all of the Aston Martins.
British racing green.
Yeah. All of those. The Jaguar Formula One cars.
They weren't great.
In fact, I'm going to say, there's more good green race cars, as in pretty green race cars, not necessarily good performing race cars. There's more pretty green race cars than unpretty. I think you've picked out the 40, which was correctly disgusting. Everything else tends to be beautiful when it's green. Green is not a normal color for a race car, and it really should be. Unless it's steak. That doesn't.
Agreed.
No, roll that one back nice and quickly. The other point that this car gets is we've talked about Dario Franchitti being in the car, which is fantastic. But if you liked a bit of casual violence and swearing, then Paul Tracy was also in the other car, and he was brilliant. The argument over whether or not he won an Indy 500, he didn't. It's just great.
Ooh. I mean, he didn't, but also...
He didn't. If Paul Tracy wants to come on and argue with us, I'm totally up for that. Paul, if you're listening, on you come. It's going to be great. But yeah,
don't particularly like Sebastian Bourdais, so, you know.
If Seb wants to come
if
on...
That, if that helps, bring Paul Tracy on.
Yep, totally. So yeah, I this whole car is an icon to me. Again, there's a lot of rose-tinted glasses in this, watching it win in Vancouver and North America and all that good stuff. But it's such a good, iconic car.
Yeah, this one's car plus drivers plus team. You know, Franchitti-Tracy lineup lasted, I don't know, I want to say 5 or 6 years through kart and champ car and whatever else. And yeah, it's just an iconic thing. It just takes me right back to 1999, really, and... What's more to love?
I feel like we're about to have an argument about the number one car. Not that we disagree, but based on some comments that have been made on other cars. So this is going to be fun.
So, yeah, I've alluded to, it was a landslide winner, actually. The biggest gap in the entire field from 20th to 1st. It won by 37 points overall, with four people putting it as the best livery of 1999, including myself and Scott, men of impeccable taste. Chip Ganassi.
Scott, can you read any of those sponsors? Have a look at that nose. How's that nose looking? What about that engine cover? How many sponsors can you fit on an engine cover? The answer is always N plus one for this car, I think. What about that side pod there? The target. What happened? Did they drop it and it just kind of fell to the bottom of the side pod?
And that electric bolt on the side as well. Classy.
Yeah. And red and yellow screams class, doesn't it?
I think they even had Mr. Peanut on the front wing end plate at one point, which, as we all know, is also very classy. I mean, he's got a monocle and a top hat, so...
I love this car. I voted this car number two, but using the arguments against, for example, Newman Haas, this car completely fails everything.
As I said earlier, I think it is my favourite car of the year, really. Mm-hmm. That Ganassi sort of Energizer, the stripe. Yeah, I love it. But
okay, what's the difference between this and the Della Penna? It's got a yellow stripe on it.
And it was driven by Juan Montoya.
There you go. And before that, it was driven by Alex Zanardi, who at his good point as well. So I'm not overly happy with the criteria that we've used here.
Yeah, for me, when I think of this car, it's always Detroit 99. It's the pass that Zanardi put on Herta at Laguna Seca. It was a championship-winning car, the dominant car, really. It's the equivalent of Senna in a McLaren to me, just in America. It's a fantastic thing. Weighed with nostalgia, for sure, but it's one of my favourites. Even though I didn't put it on the podium, but that was just... I just like being a bit chaotic at the moment, apparently.
Yeah, you somehow put the Pac West above this, which is another argument. Oh, other iconic races for this.
That was just on number of colours used, I think.
The other iconic race for this car was the Michigan 500 with the Hanford device, where they were obviously trying to recreate the Indy 500. Didn't quite work, but it was an excellent, excellent race. By the way, if we're doing a number of colours, then I'm disappointed the Team Gordon Eagle has not been voted for, because on number of colours, this car wins by far, I think. But yeah. Scott, I'd like to hear justification for this one, just out of interest.
Whenever Sim announced the results there, I was kind of thinking, what was I thinking whenever I voted for Chip Ganassi?
Yeah, what were you thinking? One?
And, you know, while you were talking there, I was trying to think, why did I do that? Yeah.
I think you should ask yourself this more often, actually. But maybe this is a learning experience.
It's okay. Everybody asks me instead. and I guess then I came to a bit of a realization that whenever I think about Kart 99, I think about the cars and the liveries that stuck out to me, the ones that I could remember without seeing them. And the Target one was one of them. Yes, again, swayed by, you know, that the Zanardi, you know, in that car. That there's, I mean, the more I look at the livery, the more I don't like it, but I remember it. And so that's probably why I voted for it. Maybe I was trying to do something else at the same time. I don't know. Yeah, I think it's probably nostalgia made me click number one.
Could we talk about the word classy again? Because the front wing end plate has got two sponsors on it, which is quite remarkable for one of the smallest parts of the car.
This one particular of them is, variant of it, yeah, here we go.
One of them is Dog Chow, and the other one is Oreos. Classy sponsors. Okay, not quite up there with the tobacco sponsorship, but neither of them scream, oh yeah, top class type
Dog
stuff.
Chow, Oreos, it's food for the whole family. What's your...
Covered all the main food groups there, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, you've got Gillette on the side, so you can get your shaving in. Coca-Cola, Energizer if you need some batteries. And you can get them all at Target as well. So
I guess
it just works.
You know, whenever I think about this versus the Della Penna, I just remember the Della Penna being crap all year and this being at the front and me going, I like Alex Zanardi because I've heard of him. I want him to win. And so, yes, there is some absolute personal bias and nostalgia in there.
I think this year was... the first year of Montoya stepping up into the sort of the top line motorsport. Because I remember watching him in F3000 in 1998, and it was like, yeah, this guy's going somewhere. And he rocks up in kart, basically dominates the field in his first year, even though the championship did go to count back in the end. It was, yeah, this was the emergence of Juan Pablo Montoya on the world stage. And, you know, he went on to do amazing things in Formula One as well. He was just a brilliant driver. So it's all... Yeah, there's no real objectivity to a lot of this, as you'd probably expect from someone that voted for that crazy livery to be number one. It's all wrapped up in what you remember, what you feel at the time. It's pure nostalgia, really.
I'm going with that because the more I look at it, the less
like
designed
it.
This car is. Yeah, because I'm just looking at the side. The engine cover has got so many sponsors on it that you can't read some of them because they've had to put them over bodywork that's curving. There's one at the back there behind Gillette. I can't see what that says. There's one above the fuel hose cover. Can't read what that says. Energizer is so large, it actually goes off the bodywork and onto the side of the windscreen there. The FedEx logo on the roll bar, it's got orange on black. That's just outstanding for like contrast and readability. If we didn't know that was a FedEx logo, you would never actually be able to tell. It's a complete mess of a car. I actually love it, But I'm partly upset that other things got voted down for basically being this car, and then this car wins.
It's basically a hot mess, just like the PacQuest, which is why it's brilliant.
So what we're saying is, if we'd put Juan Montoya in the Denapella and he'd won, then that would have won this vote. And instead, it basically comes last.
I think what we're saying is, if we put Juan Montoya in the PacQuest, I just wouldn't have voted for anything else. The entire top 10 would have just been one livery.
I'm upset.
Yeah, I was going to say, it doesn't amuse me, Dave, you're arguing against yourself here, because you did put his second. So.
Yeah, I like it, but I like rules and structure and criteria, and that's just been completely thrown out the window by a man with a weird shirt. I don't like it.
So, yeah, there you have it then. So that's the top 10 liveries of the 99 car season. And yeah, I don't think we're all going to agree on here, but the another win for democracy, I think, with Chip Ganassi coming first.
Can I give an honourable mention to the Patrick Grayson Visteon car? But it's black, it's silver, it has little bits of red in it.
It's classy.
It reminds me of the
Pianos. It is
absolutely classy. It reminds me of the Pianos of that time. And I think silver is a great colour for a race car.
I mean, if you're going for classy, I'm not saying good, but classy, then even the Hogan at the very top of this document kind of fits. It's white, it's blue, it's got a pinstripe separating them. Job done. Everything's big text, easy to read. The lack of sponsorship is more of a financial problem than a design problem. Surely the Hogan meets your criteria for classy.
Yeah, but there's a fine line between classy and boring. And the Hogan errs towards boring. I think none of us have mentioned at any point, either in jest or in serious, the McDonald's car.
It doesn't deserve a mention. It looks like it came in a Happy Meal.
I would have been very pleased with that as a free toy when I was 5, but beyond that, no.
The only thing it gets a mention for is, I believe that's Tony Kanaan's car, and we like Tony Kanaan. He's excellent. Yeah, just Googled it. It's his car. No, it's not a pretty car, and it's made worse by the fact that it's got drive-through written on the side. Like, they went, oh, it needs to be McDonald's, but it also needs a racing reference. How can we make that a drive-through? That's a car. That'll do. It's just bad. It gets bonus points, actually, because Tony's helmet was switched to the livery, and it actually looks rather good. Somehow that helmet change works. So it gets bonus points for that. Other than that, no.
Okay, so looking at the overall standings then, so 20th was the Hogan car with 6 points. 19th, 9 points for Peyton Coin Herdes. 18th was the MCI WorldCom car with 18 points. That matches what the Forsyth McDonald's got, 18 points for 17th. Pioneer car got 16th with 20 points. Rahal Miller, 15th with 24, matching Team Gordon, who also got 24 in 14th. Patrick Racing Visteon was up there in 13th on 28 points. PacQuest Motorola, 12th with 29 points. PacQuest Hollywood, 11th with 31 points. And then the top 10 was Della Penna, 52 points. Newman Haas, 64. AAR Castrol, 64. Patrick Racing Takat, 72 points. Sixth was Walker, 104. Penske in fifth with 107. Rahal Shaw, fourth, 108 points. And then the podium, Forsyth Players, 114 points. Team Cool Green, second place, 135 points. And the best livery of Kart 1999, the Chip Ganassi with 172 points.
This episode was brought to you by the Baking Crime app. If you need to launder a substantial amount of croissants or need to mysteriously acquire several priceless meringues, the baking line is for you. Filter by cakes, muffins, and pies to customize your delicious criminal enterprise. If that's not your thing, try the Racing Line app, your personal motorsport calendar. Don't miss a single race. With over 100 series and 500 events, the Racing Line provides start times in your time zone and customizable notifications to alert you to the events that are important to you. Motor racing is our thing. Don't miss out on any of it. Get the Racing Line app from the App Store today.